What we're dealing with here, littering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoke in the reef.
Called the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah.
No, that's not real.
This thing a weed.
Takes one solid weekend of training to get that bag.
Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome back to the show. This episode is, of course, about the Breonna Taylor incident. Better late than never, I always say. It's timely, though, because they just indicted one of the officers involved, and people are freaking out. Two officers have been shot in the riots following this indictment. So it's a good time to talk about it because everyone else is talking about it, and most of them don't know what the hell they're talking about. So we will walk through the details of the incident, the actual facts, heaven forbid, and then talk about what that means for this conversation. But first, don't forget to go check out our membership over at Patreon, patreon.com. We are still running a t-shirt giveaway. The Badge Life has kindly provided 10 free t-shirts to our early members. So we've still got a few spots left for that. I think we literally have like three spots left. So don't delay. Any membership level gets you into that drawing. If you want to see what The Badge Life has to offer, just go over to thebadgelife.com. If you see something you like and don't want to wait and you want to support a law enforcement officer in his own business there, then use promo code Police Academy at checkout and you'll get a free patch thrown in with your order and free shipping. That's at thebadgelife.com. And of course, we are still sending out our first 50 limited edition tumblers. We have, I think, 13 or 14 left. Those go out to our top tier Fearless members. So don't delay. There will be no more for the rest of all time. And to be honest, I wouldn't want to miss out on that. Because as our members who already have theirs have pointed out, well, everything tastes better when they drink it from the old Freedom Chalice. That is the Police Academy Podcast First 50 Tumblr. So go check it out at patreon.com, patreon.com. Then just search Police Academy and you'll find our page there. We have three membership levels all the way from, hey, I just want to support the show and be involved in the private member conversation on our Discord chat, all the way up to, I want access to everything. I want to know what you're doing in your free time. And I want my Freedom Chalice First 50 Tumblr. So go check it out, patreon.com. Let's jump into the details of the Breonna Taylor case. And then I also want to touch on a case from my hometown, Omaha, Nebraska, where Jake Gardner, a bar owner, shot and killed a young man named James Scurlock. We'll touch on that at the very end because that has made national headlines now for a very tragic reason. So we'll get to that at the very end. We'll see y'all there. Enjoy the show. All right, let's get into the details of the Breonna Taylor case. As is usual for something like this, I'm going to walk through the events of the case in typically in chronological order, kind of stopping here and there to talk about details. All this information is footnoted. The links to the articles that this came from are all in the show notes. So if you want to kind of do your own research, you can check those out. Information in this case has been difficult to come by. It's still quite vague as to how things went down exactly. It'll be a while before we have real into the weeds information on this. But this is what we have right now. And 90% of this is stuff that you'll never hear from a mainstream media outlet. So let's do this. Breonna Taylor, 26 years old. She was an EMT. Sounds like she wasn't working as an EMT at the time, but not sure how that's relevant. She was shot 5 times by the original reports said 8 or 10 or even more. Autopsy says she was shot, hit 5 times by bullets fired from the officer's guns, when they tried to enter her apartment on March 13th. All right, so why were the police there? Excuse me. The police had obtained multiple search warrants that were all linked to a man named Jamarcus Glover. These were drug investigators that were doing this. They were investigating Mr. Glover as an alleged crack cocaine dealer. So stand-up guy there. Taylor's apartment was on one of these warrants because they believed that Glover was using the apartment to receive packages and possibly, you know, conduct some of his business there. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with how our criminal justice and legal system works, a warrant has to be supported strongly enough for a judge to believe that there is probable cause that a crime is being committed in a certain place, that there's evidence of a crime in a certain place, or that a person who has committed a crime is in a certain place, or that that person needs to be arrested. Essentially, a judge has to be convinced that there is need for the police to violate your rights to privacy because there's enough evidence to support that a crime is or has been committed, right? So is being or has been committed. All right, so the warrant that gave them legal authority to go into Breonna Taylor's apartment was related to Jamarcus Glover. However, it wasn't specifically for Jamarcus Glover only. It was also for evidence relating to his drug sales business activity, right? So, you know, there's been this contention out there that, well, because they did arrest Glover earlier prior to going to this apartment, but the warrant was still valid from the information we have right now. The warrant was still valid because they were still looking for more evidence related to the case, and the warrant was valid in that regard. Now, some people who have trouble thinking in a critical manner will point out that no drugs were found. This is irrelevant. The judge who signed the warrant agreed that there was sufficient evidence to search the residence. That is not on the police. If there was sufficient evidence and the warrant is good, it doesn't matter if they find anything at all. Okay? You don't have to know 100% that there are, you know, drugs in the residence to get the warrant. You just have to meet a certain threshold of certainty, and it sounds that like they did. The warrant, as far as we know right now, was a good warrant signed by a judge. The police were not acting outside their authority going into this apartment. All right. So now, inside the apartment, they know Glover's not there because he's already in custody. So they knock and announce. Initially, reports said that this was a no-knock warrant. It sounds like that is not the case. But the officers knew Glover wasn't there. Now, they did expect Breonna to be there. And this is a quote from one of the officers, quote, "Our intent was to give her plenty of time to come to the door because they said she was probably there alone," said Mattingly, who was one of the three officers who discharged their weapons inside Taylor's home. Continuing, the Louisville police officers involved in Breonna Taylor's shooting death knocked and announced themselves and did not execute a no-knock warrant as previously believed, Kentucky's attorney general said Wednesday, per the New York Post. At a press conference, AG Daniel Cameron said a neighbor corroborated, or that means supported, cops' claims that they knocked on Taylor's apartment door and announced themselves as police in the early hours of March 13th. End quote. All right, so the police know Glover's not there because he's already in custody. They assume Breonna's there. They claim to, and there is a witness supporting statements saying that they did knock and announce themselves as police and were waiting for her to come to the door. All right. I don't know how long they waited. That information is not available at this time. Now, from the inside of the apartment, Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend, Walker, get out of bed. Walker grabs a handgun that he is supposedly legally allowed to have. And as they're walking down a hallway, assumedly toward the door to answer the door, the police breached the door. Again, don't know how long they waited to do this, but they breached the door. They have a legal warrant. They can force entry. And this is where things take a massive turn for the worse and tragedy strikes. And I say tragedy because, listen, the reality is, the logical, factual, objective reality is that terrible things can happen where human beings do terrible things to other human beings and no laws were broken. And it truly is a tragedy. All right. So consider being in Walker's shoes, the boyfriend, who legally has the right to bear arms and protect his residence or his girlfriend, or, you know, it's not his apartment, supposedly, but he's there. Someone just kicked the door in, right? So put yourself in those shoes. I put myself in those shoes. If someone kicks my front door in and I didn't hear them say, hey, police, open up, then I'm going to assume they're not a good person. And I'm not going to wait to find out who it is. I'm probably going to shoot the motherfucker. And that's what he did. Was he wrong to do that? I'm not. If he honestly didn't know it was the cops, then no, I'm not going to say he's wrong to do that. I think he's 100% justified in doing that. Now, at the same time, the police on the other side, they've knocked and announced. They said, hey, police here, please open the door. Police department, come open the door. We're going to force entry, blah, blah, blah. I don't know exactly what they said. They did knock and announce. They ram the door. Door flies open, and one of the officers gets shot. You're going to return fire. All right? So on both sides, the initial actions, given the fact or very likely possibility that both sides didn't really know who was there, right? Walker didn't know it was the cops. Cops didn't know Walker was there. In any case, Walker shoots one of the cops, so they return fire. They don't know what the hell's going on, but when a cop gets shot, they usually shoot back. All right, so to the details on this. First, the first shot that was fired came from Walker's handgun. He shoots Officer Mattingly in the leg, severing his femoral artery. That is a very serious wound. Could easily kill you, would kill you without medical treatment, immediate medical treatment. He did survive. But yeah, aside from the fact that getting shot sucks, regardless, that is a fatal gunshot wound in most cases. So naturally, the police returned fire. Three officers returned fire, shooting more than 20 rounds into Taylor's apartment. Now, it may sound as if I'm being cavalier about the officers shooting into the apartment. Of course, when someone shoots you and you're a cop and you've announced that you are the police, you are going to try to end that threat. And you're going to do that with your own bullets. Now, every bullet, every round that you shoot has to be justified and accounted for. And this is where we'll get into trouble here in a second. Two officers involved in the shooting, Sergeant John Mattingly and Detective Miles Cosgrove, were not charged, despite FBI ballistics evidence showing that Cosgrove fired the bullet that ultimately killed Breonna Taylor. Cameron noted, that's the DA, that based on the evidence, Walker, not Cosgrove, fired first, setting off a tragic chain of events. And he says, quote, our investigation found that Mattingly and Cosgrove were justified in their use of force after having been fired on by Kenneth Walker. All right, so two officers were not charged, although one of those officers fired the bullet that killed Breonna Taylor, and this is what people are pissed off about. One of the officers has been charged, and that is an officer with the last name of Hankinson, who apparently fired, quote-unquote, blindly into the apartment. He fired 10 rounds into the apartment. On September 23rd, which was yesterday, he was indicted by a grand jury on 3 counts of wanton endangerment. Well, what is that? That's another thing that most people won't look into. It is, quote, a person is guilty of wanton endangerment or wanton endangerment in the first degree when, under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life, he or she wantonly engages in conduct which creates a substantial danger of death or serious physical injury to another person. End quote. All right. So the attributes of this statute, extreme indifference, all right, to the value of human life, conduct that creates a substantial danger of death or serious bodily injury to another person. Okay. This officer, the reason he's being charged with three counts of wanton endangerment is not because, from what I can tell with the evidence and the information we have available, is not related to Breonna Taylor. It's related to the adjacent apartment. And it has to do with the way he was using deadly force. Deadly force was justified in response to an officer being shot. But that does not mean that you can, as they describe it, blindly fire toward in the general direction of wherever the threat is. You actually have to, you know where the threat is. And if you're going to fire your handgun, your patrol rifle, whatever, if you're going to shoot a live round into a building, you have to know, well, or in any circumstance, if you're going to fire a round, you have to know where that round is going. It has to be reasonably pointed toward whatever threat it is you're trying to stop. Okay, so he's being charged. Again, we don't have all the details, but he's being charged because they're saying that him firing 10 rounds into this apartment was reckless. It unduly put in danger human life, and I believe the three counts are because there were three people in the neighboring apartment. Quote, a neighbor filed a lawsuit against the officers involved in the raid. The lawsuit claims, among other things, that a man was nearly shot, that law enforcement, quote, sprayed gunfire into Chelsea Napper's apartment with a total disregard for the value of human life, and a bullet that was shot from the defendant police officer's gun flew inches past Cody Etherton's head, while he was in the hallway of Chelsea Napper's apartment. The man is unidentified. Napper is understood to be a pregnant woman, and Etherton is understood to be a child, end quote. Okay, so that's where your three charges of wanton, I don't know, I say wanton, it's probably not right, but endangerment come from. Basically, they're saying, listen, he blindly shot into his apartment, almost killed some people in the neighboring apartment. That is a crime. We're going to at least pursue charges there, which is 100% reasonable. We don't have all the evidence there, but it makes sense. That also suggests that the two officers who were not charged were putting rounds on target or reasonably close to the person who was shooting at them. Okay. And I corrected myself there because they actually never hit Walker, the boyfriend. But Breonna Taylor was hit 5 times, which again is just a tragedy in every right. Okay. If she's standing right next to him and he starts shooting at the cops, it is very, there's a very high chance that she's going to get hit by a bullet. Now, again, without all the evidence, we don't know exactly how these officers fired these rounds. We do have photos from the crime scene. And there are shell casings from the officers' guns, presumably, outside the apartment door, outside a sliding glass door, and outside of a window. Now, you can see 5 bullet holes through the window. You can see at least, you can see 5 bullet holes through the screen of the sliding glass door. So at least 5 rounds were shot through the sliding glass door. And then there's a shit ton of casings outside the apartment door and in the parking lot even, you know, kind of well away from the apartment. And we don't know at this time who shot which rounds or where Officer Hankinson was when he fired these 10 rounds, or why they're saying he blindly fired them. That's information we don't have. But if he did truly blindly fire 10 rounds and they almost killed someone in a neighboring apartment and they didn't even go anywhere near Walker, that's a very reasonable charge. It makes sense why they would indict him on that charge. If you look at the pictures on the inside of the apartment, there's bullet holes all over the living room and kind of like kitchen dining area. And I don't, without knowing the exact layout of the apartment, can't really tell how that relates to the hallway where Walker was when he shot the officer, but there are bullet holes kind of scattered randomly throughout the apartment. And you know, I don't know for sure. It seems to me that some of these rounds, if not all of the ones that are kind of just randomly sprayed, are probably from Hankinson. But we don't know that for sure, so we're not going to assume. And that's okay. Here's the thing. The mainstream media, the people that you listen to for information, they want to tell you something because they want you to read their information. But sometimes they don't have any information. And I'm telling you right now, we don't have the information. We don't know for sure. But this is why, presumably, these two officers were not charged in anything related to Breonna Taylor's death, because that was a tragedy. But they were justified in using deadly force. The other officer was charged because his actions were not justified, or at the very least were showing extreme indifference to the value of human life in that wanton endangerment statute. All right, so Breonna Taylor. This is a name we have all heard so many times over the past year or so. It's a name that is synonymous with Black Lives Matter, with pervasive and systemic racism, police brutality, police murder, state violence against Black and brown people. She has been a poster child of the Black Lives Matter movement. And for most of that time, there really wasn't a whole hell of a lot of information on what happened. That gets to a comment from the district attorney in this case, which we'll touch on in a second. But I do want to talk about an incident that happened in Omaha, Nebraska as well. I know this has caught national attention now because the innocent victim in this case has now committed suicide. And this is where it's very hard to watch what's going on right now. For someone who is very analytical, does approach things from a logical reason, fact-based approach, because I want to know the truth. I don't want to be right and feel right and justified in my emotional responses to things. I actually want to know the truth. So it's really hard to see people who are being unduly, who are getting thrown under the bus that the mob is driving right now. So in Omaha, I'll give a very summarized explanation of what happened here. There was a protest slash riot going on in Omaha, Nebraska. Being from there, it's shocking that these things are happening in Omaha, quite ridiculous, frankly, but they were, in response to the George Floyd incident. And Jake Gardner was a bar owner in downtown Omaha. He's there with several other, people he knew to protect his property and livelihood. His elderly father was also there. Now, Jake was armed, and at one point, this is all on video from several angles, a young Black male comes and literally de-cleats Jake's father. From complete blindside, just decks him, takes him off his feet, onto the ground for no apparent reason. So Jake walks down the sidewalk toward where this happened. His dad gets up and kind of brushes this off. And you can hear in one of the videos, Jake saying, I just want to know who did it. Well, eventually, there's three young Black men who start to encircle Jake. And he's backing up. He's got his hands up in the air in a very clear body language communication of, I don't want any trouble. You can hear him kind of talking to these guys, and he continues to kind of backpedal down the sidewalk, and they start to kind of spread out and encircle him. At that point, you can see he draws a handgun from his waistband. He holds it down kind of on his right side, but a little bit behind his hip, and they know he has a gun at this point. He continues to try to back up, and de-escalate this situation. And he gets attacked. Two guys jump on him, throw him into the street, into a big puddle that is has formed there in the street, and are fighting with him. Eventually, he fires two rounds from his handgun. The first two suspects run away. And I call them suspects because they did just assault someone unprovoked. They run away. And James Scurlock comes into play here. Well, he's already been in play because he's one of the three guys who's encircled Gardner initially. After the two dudes run away, after rounds have already been fired, James Scurlock decides, this is my time. He jumps on the back of Jake Gardner, and it appears he is trying to choke Gardner out. Gardner's still on the ground in the street. He's already been assaulted by two men. He's already made it clear that he does not want to fight, and you know, has used deadly force to end the initial assault. So why James Scurlock decided to throw himself into the fray at that point is beyond me. I don't know. He did have, it sounds like, methamphetamine as well as possibly some other drugs in his system at the time of his death. So, of course, that may have impeded his judgment a little bit there. But in any case, he jumps on Gardner's back. It appears he's choking him out. And they struggle for a few moments, and then Gardner fires one round. Scurlock crumples to the ground, and he's dead. Now, the district attorney, Don Klein, in Douglas County, initially came out. We had plenty of video angles supporting the fact that this was a clear-cut case of justified and legal self-defense on the part of Jake Gardner, and they said as much. You know, they said, we're not pressing charges. We're not indicting on this. This is self-defense. And initially, it was good to see, especially for being from Omaha, being from the heartland. We don't typically, traditionally put up with the kind of stuff you've been seeing go on around our country where DAs are charging people for crimes that they didn't commit simply because people protest. People have no idea what actually happened, no idea what the law really says, no idea what their rights are in a self-defense situation. And so I was, it was good to see our DA initially say, you know, we're not indicting on this. This was self-defense. We have the evidence to support that. We're not moving forward with anything against Jake Gardner, the bar owner who was violently assaulted and defended his own life. Well, then the protests and riots began, and they appointed a special prosecutor, a black man who had a different idea, and he was able to convince essentially a grand jury to indict Mr. Gardner when we have clear and convincing evidence that he simply defended his life that night. That was a severe miscarriage of justice, which leads to the true tragedy of this whole situation. Now, I say that because I don't think it's a tragedy in the sense that a Breonna Taylor case is a tragedy. When someone is violently assaulting another person and threatening their life, and they're killed for it. I don't think James Scurlock's death is truly a tragedy. To be honest, if he valued his life, he would not have tried to kill someone who had already fired two rounds, armed with a gun, and clearly willing to defend himself. That was really dumb. Again, drugs may have had a factor in his decision-making. I don't know. I don't know what the heck he was thinking, but it was dumb, and he lost his life for it. He kind of earned that one, so to speak, in this contention that, well, he wasn't given the opportunity to have due process, right? Yes, he was the criminal here. He was the one assaulting an innocent civilian, but he deserves due process. Well, yes, typically speaking, you do in America. But that does not relinquish Jake Gardner from the right to defend his life. So when you threaten someone's life, you are essentially foregoing your right to not only have due process in the courts, but also to live. So in my book, quite frankly, James Scurlock's death isn't a tragedy. It's an example of playing stupid games, winning stupid prizes. It's not because he's black. It's not because he has a pretty significant rap sheet. It's because he earned what happened to him by his own actions. And you can speculate all day long as to what was going on in his head, but his actions, threatening the life of someone who is armed and ready to defend his own life, got him killed. And by the way, this was not the first time Mr. Scurlock made really dumb choices. Gardner has a criminal record that is not exactly on par with Mr. Scurlock's. Gardner had a reckless driving charge, third degree assault, and a prior concealed carry weapon charge, which was dropped probably because he has a legal right to carry given his chosen profession being a bar owner. Now, Scurlock, on the other hand, was arrested for a home invasion where him and a group of other black males entered a home and threatened the residents with handguns. He has also been arrested and charged, or found guilty rather, of assault and battery and third degree domestic violence assault. All right, so this is not the first time that Mr. Scurlock has chosen to use violence and threaten the lives of other people. It was just this time that someone had the ability to defend themselves and did. So again, not a tragedy in my book. Breonna Taylor is a tragedy. Breonna Taylor was watching a movie with her boyfriend, walked down the hallway to answer the door, and in the midst of the chaos that ensued when the police breached the door, her boyfriend fired around, hitting a police officer, and the police returned fire. She was killed. That is a tragedy. That does not mean that Mr. Walker, her boyfriend, committed a crime. It also does not mean the police committed a crime. We have to actually look at the facts to determine if that was the case on either side. Now, the DA's statement in the Breonna case is as followed. And I think, man, if we could have some more DAs like this. These district attorneys around the country are essentially social justice warriors in and of their own right. And that is not their job. But this DA got it right. Quote, "I certainly understand the pain that has been brought about by the tragic loss of Ms. Taylor," he said. "I understand that as a black man, how painful this is, which is why it was so incredibly important to make sure we did everything we possibly could to uncover every fact." Continuing, "Our reaction to the truth is the society we want to be," Cameron continued. "Do we really want the truth? Or do we want a truth that fits our narrative? Do we want the facts? Are we content to blindly accept our own version of events? We as a community must make this decision. There will be celebrities, influencers, and activists who, having never lived in Kentucky, will try to tell us how to feel, suggesting they understood the facts of this case and that they know our community and the Commonwealth better than we do." He concluded, "They don't." End quote. Now that is leadership. Do we want the truth, or do we want a truth that fits our narrative, which is not truth at all? Do we want the facts, or are we content to blindly accept our own version of events? These are the questions that reasonable and good Americans are asking right now. And so many, unfortunately, are answering with no, we don't want the truth. We just want to feel justified. So I'm asking you and anyone that you know that you might share this episode with, because they do need to know the truth. They need to actually understand the evidence and facts of this case, because you can't escape the name Breonna Taylor right now. Say her name, right? Rightfully so, in a certain extent, because it is a tragedy. But we're saying her name because of a false narrative. Let's be real. There are plenty of other tragic situations that have happened this year involving the police. No one's saying their names because it doesn't fit the narrative. So I have to ask you and anyone else you share this with, your friends and family, the people, the good people of the United States of America and abroad. Do we want the truth? Or do we just want to feel justified in our childish emotional tantrums? The mainstream media keeps telling us, you know, it's okay. You should be angry. The whole system is out to get you. Go ahead, smash some windows, throw a few bricks at the cops, maybe even shoot a few of them. You have a right to be mad. Though BLM continues to provide false narratives, absent actual facts or evidence, or understanding of the law. And then, of course, you have the good old white liberals and, unfortunately these days, whites on all sides of the political spectrum who feel guilty for their whiteness if they don't go along with the narrative because they haven't taken the time to find out what this is all about. People are dying. Good people, innocent people, on behalf of the criminals many in our society have chosen to defend. I mean, the partisanship in the coverage of events all around the country cannot be ignored unless you just want, you are choosing to keep your head under a rock. And I don't know why you would do that. The Kyle Rittenhouse incident in Kenosha, Washington. The people who were trying to assault him were not good people in any sense of the word. And he defended his life. Justifiably or not, that's up to the court. But it's a self-defense case. You won't hear the New York Times saying that because it doesn't fit their narrative. A tragedy happens, but it doesn't always have to be about race. We do have racial issues. We always will. Human beings are always going to screw it up in many ways, and race is one of them. But when it comes to our modern, current day reality, well, the truth shall set us free. And I think maybe that's why so many people don't want to find it. All right, that is a wrap for this one, ladies and gents. Thanks for tuning in. Please, again, share this with your friends and family. These are times where true information, actual facts, evidence, are extremely important. I know I'm tired, and I'm sure all of you are too, of being told what to think rather than being told what happened. You're told you have to be mad about the Breonna Taylor incident. You're told that it's an example of pervasive and systemic racism, that she was murdered by a cop because she was black, that she was shot in her bed. But does any of the evidence actually support that? Well, now you just heard the evidence. You decide for yourself. You're smart enough to do that. I believe you are. Our politicians and our media don't. So if you know someone who's smart enough to think for themselves, well, they might want to hear this episode. If you want more Police Academy podcast content, you want to support the show, you think cops are actually important to the stability of our free society, and you want to support them, then go over to Patreon, patreon.com, and check out our membership options. I mean, our lowest membership level is like $1 a week. You're never going to notice that in your monthly budget. And you are playing on your side of it, a very small role, but on our side of it, a huge role in making a difference, in giving law enforcement officers around the country a voice to be heard. Because police officers don't have a voice right now. You can get fired so fast for saying a fraction of the things I say on this show. And that's why I say I'm on this show. Because I have to speak up for our police officers because I know they can. I've been there. I know what it's like, and they need a voice. So thanks for supporting the show. That's at Patreon, patreon.com. We've got like 12, 13 tumblers left and maybe 3 spots left before we do our t-shirt giveaway from thebadgelife.com, so don't wait. All right, thanks for joining. We'll see y'all next time. As always, do good, be strong, stay free.